Thank you very much. I know it's really early, and also I was DJing till 2 a.m., so a little bit fuzzy, so bear with me. Okay, so yeah, we're talking about legacy, and this is such a topic for the start of a Sunday morning. Okay, so just, oh, the slides are not on the screen. Okay. All right, okay, I didn't see that. Thank you. Yeah, so warning, this involves death. Death lies ahead, as I like to say. Lies ahead for all of us. So how many of you thought about what would happen if you died today? You know, and I know it seems funny, but like seriously, you know, it can happen. You know, it does happen. And it's something that people think about their legacy, but no one really does anything about it. And so the point of this talk is to try and get you to think about what you would do, but also kind of think about legacy and digital legacy all the time, rather than I'm going to do it at one point. So most people do it when they're like about to get married or buy a house or something like that. That's nice, but you should be always thinking about it. So yeah, real question, you know, what would you do today? Most people don't think about it, and this is why I'm here, to convince you that you should be thinking about it. And this is from Which. So, you know, it's pretty, yeah, you're not the only one. There is this concept of like living well, and you see this a lot, but no one thinks about dying well. Yeah, what does dying well mean? And that's a really interesting question. And you may have different views on that, but you know, the whole point is that you need to start thinking about it now. So also, you know, think about the dignity of death. You know, what's that look like? You know, death in the internet age has changed, and we all need to adjust to that. And you know, EMF Camp, all of you should really have all of this down, but not everyone has it down. So just think about it and start doing stuff now. So here's a question for you. It's a real question. It's really hard to do it in this, but I'll do it with a show of hands. So what do you do with your legacy contacts? Even the word legacy contact is problematic. So what I mean is that in your contact book, people die. And so what do you do with that contact? So I'll do a show of hands. So how many of you, once a person dies, you will delete the contact? Show of hands. Oh, that's more than I thought. Not that many. How many of you leave it alone? Most people. And have you ever thought about what that means to leave that? How long do you leave it for? I know someone was like, I'll leave it for like 2 years and then I will delete it. But then even that person struggled to even delete it. I have contacts that are dead and they sit there and I don't know what to do with them. I just kind of leave them there. It does feel kind of a little bit icky to like delete them. So this is literally the very edge of a much bigger tidal wave. Also, how do you want to be remembered? You know, what does that mean? What do people, you know, what do you want people to remember you for? This is what legacy is about, and we all need to be thinking about that. You know, what do you want to keep, share, and how is a big one. A lot more of our world is digital. And so a lot of those assets are, you know, sometimes they are, I imagine that a lot of people do download stuff and they keep it for themselves, but there's a problem with that. Most people also put stuff on, you know, use stuff like Spotify, you know, other kind of cloud services. A lot of those cloud services, once you're dead, you know, no one has access to it. Only you have access to it, but you are dead. So this is the stuff that we need to start thinking about. And it's like, it's a real challenge of like how you collect this stuff, how you keep it. What do you want to do with it? You may want to get rid of it. And that's a legitimate thing that you may want to do. But there's things that you may want to keep, like your photos, for example, or videos. All that stuff you put on, dare I say, Instagram or TikTok or whatever. Like, what happens to that? Or you just want to forget about it? Those kind of things. So let's talk about this thing called your wishes. So I'll give you a very quick run through of how it works. And because we're in the UK, it makes it a lot easier. When I do it in Europe, it's really difficult because it's a different legal process. So ultimately, you get a will and you get a thing called the letter of wishes. So this is the summary I kind of tried to condense it into the differences. The one of the big differences is that the will, once it goes through probate, which is a process where it's kind of checked, ratified, and is kind of operational as such, then that goes public. That's, most people do not know that, okay? You do get this other document. Also the will is a legal document. You usually get a solicitor or someone to check it through or to advise on it. You can now get wills without that. So some people are making some mistakes that you're... On the letter of wishes, you can write this, you know, as much as you could write whatever you like. You could write it in any form. It's not a thing that's formal, but it usually is attached to the will. That tells the person or the executors a lot more about your estate and what you want to do with it. And you can go into real detail because it's completely, you know, you write whatever you like in it, as long as it's not enforceable. You know, so you could put like, I want this to happen, but it will not override the will. But you can say, that my favorite teapot, I really want to give it to my niece because I know that she always loved that. Okay, those kind of things you can put in there. There's a lot more to it, but you can see it there. And also, I'll make your slides available. So this private and public thing is really important because the amount of times people put recovery codes, PIN numbers. I've seen people put their cryptocurrency seed phrase in the will because they didn't know. They just thought it's like a thing that's private, and it will stay private. They don't realize that it is a thing that becomes a public thing. So do not do that. That's my first piece of advice. Never ever do that. There's actually a whole, as I was looking into stuff, there's a whole series from the BBC called Shadow World, and there's loads of others. I know there's a bunch of podcasts that actually look at people's wills, and they look for stuff, and they find ways to, you know, digital grave rob someone. And this is a real thing, and it's growing massively. So do not be that person who puts that thing that you think is, you know, harmless, it'll be fine, it'll be public, so it'll be private, it won't be. And that's really important. So just another thing, so what generally happens is that the will has a list of executors, and they are the people who then see the letter of wishes, and that's a private document. That private document, once again, they could make it public, but you should pick people that would understand the ramifications of that. But also it could be very nitty gritty, but they also have the right to override what you say in the letter of wishes. So anything serious, like the house, children, pets, anything like that, you know, should be in the will. Anything much smaller, you know, should probably be in the letter of wishes. And you would choose the executors that would understand the differences. So, that's the letter of wishes. Yes, what can you put in there? This is the kind of thing you can put in there. You can say, you know, more about the children if you want to. You know, maybe the children, like one should go here, one should go there. But that's usually in the will, but you can put a lot more detail about why. So you can explain your reason. In a will, you generally don't get that ability to put real reasons why you're doing this. So it really gives a background to your will choices and all the other things that you can do. So, I'm not going to play the video because I'm short of time. There is a video, but you can watch it on YouTube. Oh, that's now going to play. Great. I don't want it to play. There you go. So, why I'm here is that I have been thinking about this for a while, and that's what the video kind of talks a little bit about, is I think right now the wills kind of gets a lot of attention. The letter of wishes doesn't. The letter of wishes could be machine readable. And I know there's a bit of an intake of breath, that's fine. We'll go into that in a minute. I'll explain what I've done, with a guy called Sam, and where we are right now as a project. So this is, yeah, we call it machine readable wishes. And as you can see, it's a markdown format. I prefer XML, but there you go. So I'm literally thinking that it would be part of your digital legacy package. So you'd have the will, yeah, maybe in digital form as well, which you can do, a bunch of files that might be kind of locked with a Uber key or other things, and then a markdown document which only the executors get access to, for example. What we've done is we've basically adopted something a bit like if this and that. So, you know, in the will, I want this to happen, and then you could have a machine execute that. I can get executors and executors all mixed up, which is really weird. So they can actually do the thing. And it's stuff like what we've got here. So I gave in a scenario where I have a NAS at home, a network attached storage. My mum, you know, if I died, she'd probably want to sell it because it's probably worth some money. But I want her to remove all of the files off it and make sure it's zeroed before it gets sold. She may not know what to do. And so I could, in the letter of wishes, in the machine readable wishes, I could then get the machine to do that. And the executor would then look at that and then run it, and it would do a dry run and show what would happen. And then with consent from the executors, then actually do the thing. And this is where we kind of got to right now, where there's so many things that you could do. We don't know what we would want to do and what you want to do. And this is where we are right now. So yeah, we're using this thing called NAN. You know, we could use something else. It's open source, so you could use other things if you wanted to. The markdown document is just a markdown document. It's not like some weird proprietary thing, which is, as you'll see, the digital legacy space, there's a lot of proprietary, can I swear? I won't swear, nonsense. And also with NAN, you can talk to public APIs. So for example, you can pull your images from Flickr. Flickr's actually got a thing called Lifeboat, which are a service, which is a digital legacy kind of system. And so you could request your pictures and then also request pictures from other people. And then they got a way of dealing with that. And so that could all become part of a bigger photo album. So you're not just the pictures that you took, but also you can request pictures from people that you may know, or people that have taken pictures of you, for example. I can go into much more about, Flickr does a much better job than I do about that. So I hear you all right now. Oh my God, techno solutionism. This is bad. What is this? You know, and I agree. This is not meant to be that. So I recently read this book called Death Glitch, which was amazing. And if you ever want to get a real understanding of all this stuff, you know, then I recommend it. It's quite a light read, but it does scare you, this kind of scenarios. And so she talks a lot about different parts of it. And so I started going through it and going, how does machine readable wishes fit with what she's saying? So AI is not the solution. We are not using AI. It's all going through the executors. The executors are the ones who press the button. You know, who you point as the executors is important, and that always is. You also have to think about how many remains you have. There's so many things that we all have, you know, and how much of it is passive and how much of it is active, like stuff that's still going. She makes a really good point about unseen care. I'm sorry to say, but, you know, men, and I'll say males for now, are very bad at doing this stuff. It's always left to the other gender, and that's a real problem. And I know that's changing, but it's not changing fast enough. And so that's something that we all need to do. This is why I'm talking to you all. The amount of, she calls it digital estate startups that have gone out of business is horrendous. It happens all the time. it's awful. And it's the way that the system is set up. It's kind of Silicon Valley startup. We're going to collect people's memories. It's going to be amazing. You know, all that kind of stuff. And so we already know a lot about this. So there's a few open source solutions, not many. Literally, you'll find loads of proprietary stuff. I did do a little checklist. This is very small, but there's like even since, was it 2019, a few of them have gone bust. So imagine you put all this stuff in and it's gone. That's crazy, you know. This stuff is meant to last a long time. It doesn't fit with the Silicon Valley model. And we also know about enshittification, so that is on top of digital legacy. There's also this whole thing about digital colonialism into the afterlife, and it's really scary. Something we've been considering, and Meta recently have this patent to use your social media profile after you die and keep it going. That's a real patent. That's something that they're following through with. So we've been thinking, you could, with the machine-readable wishes, actually request, you know, all that stuff to be gone, so you're opting out of machine training after you die. This is something that could be one of the options that you just, it just happens. So that's it, pretty much. I would love to have a longer conversation, but what are your wishes and why? Let's discuss. If you want to know more, then there's a QR code, or just go to machinereadablewishes.cc and you'll hit my Raspberry Pi at home, and you'll be able to learn more. Thank you very much.